Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for April 2013. This month, the days are getting longer. In fact, there is 2 hours more daylight at the end of the month than at the beginning, but there are still some amazing sights to see at night. Let's start, as always, with the moon. New moon this month is on the 10th, with the full moon following on about 2 weeks later on the 25th. In fact, on the 25th, there will be a partial lunar eclipse, which means you may notice a slight darkening on one side of the moon. This darkening will not take place across the whole face of the moon, as this is only a partial and not a total eclipse. The best time to see this is to look out around 8:30 p.m. on the 25th. Now on to the planets. Only Saturn, Jupiter and Venus are on show this month. Venus will become prominent in the evening briefly towards the end of the month. Look low down in the west-northwest after sunset and you won't miss it. Venus will achieve a brightness or magnitude of -3.8 this month. So what does that mean? The magnitude scale is used by astronomers to assign a relative brightness to each object. The less positive or more negative the value, the brighter the object. The Sun has a magnitude of -27, whereas the full moon is -11. The brightest star Sirius is magnitude -1.5, and the pole star Polaris is +2. Each unit of magnitude corresponds to about a 2.5 times difference in brightness. Jupiter is now past its best and continues to sink in the sky into the sunset. However, it is magnitude -1.9, so still worth a look through binoculars to check out what the moons are doing. Saturn reaches opposition this month. This means that it is on the opposite side of the Earth from the Sun, and so presents the best opportunity for us to view it. And the best time to see it is around midnight around the end of the month. It lies in the constellation Libra, which will be in the south at that time. The rings are particularly worth viewing around the 28th. They may appear to brighten over a few days either side of opposition. This is called the Seeliger effect and is due to the relative position of the ice crystals in Saturn's rings. The Lyrid meteor shower is worth looking out for this month on the 21st and 22nd. The well-placed radiant, or the apparent source of the meteors, is directly overhead just before dawn, so there could be a good display. However, don't forget that the moon is full around this time, but will have set around 4 a.m. You could expect between 20 to 100 meteors per hour at best. Look towards the constellation of Lyra. So, did anybody see the comet Pan-STARRS last month? I'm afraid it proved a bit of a disappointment, and did not become as bright in the Northern Hemisphere as we hoped it would. And to compound matters, the weather was not very conducive to observation. However, it was visible with binoculars just after sunset at the end of March, and will continue to be visible with binoculars into April. And now on to constellation watching. A nice grouping of constellations can be seen while you are watching for meteors. This is the Cygnus family. The cross of Cygnus, the Swan, is easy to find, virtually directly overhead before dawn. Around Cygnus are these small constellations of Lyra, the musical instrument, Delphinus, the dolphin, and Sagitta, the arrow. All these are quite easily seen if you know the shapes you are looking for. Lyra is particularly easy as it contains the very bright star Vega, which is exactly 0.0 magnitude. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. And don't forget the planisphere, which shows you what's up there at any time and date of the year. And these are available in all good bookshops. Listen out next month for May's highlights. Bye for now.